Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Boart Half-Year Financial Results and Investor Updates call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star, then one on your telephone keypad. Please keep in mind this call is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn today's call over to CEO Jeffrey Olsen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Miranda. I'm pleased to welcome you to the Boart Longyear Half-Year Results Announcement. My name is Jeff Olsen, and I'm the President and CEO of Boart Longyear. We are having some technical difficulties in showing this over the WebEx, so I would point you to the ASX where you can download our presentation, or it will be posted on our website very shortly. Rather than delay, we're going to begin the call. If you have the presentation, before I begin, I would like to draw your attention to the picture on the title slide. This is a picture of our MDR-700 drill rig, and the MDR-700 is an underground coring rig with rod handling technology and remote control interface to improve safety and mobility underground. Slide two is our standard disclaimer. This announcement may contain certain forward-looking statements, so please read this disclaimer. Such forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance, and there can be no assurance that actual outcomes will not differ materially from these statements. Moving on to slide three. In slide three, we provide highlights of our performance so far in 2018. The most important thing we can talk about today and every day is safety. Our goal is to have every employee return home safely each day. Our lost time incident rate and total case incident rate for the first half of 2018, while industry-leading, do not reflect all of our aspirations. I'm confident that our Boart Longyear safety systems are world-class, and we are simplifying them to make them easier to follow and improving them continuously. We continue to improve safety training and, in particular, how we identify risks in the field, and these efforts have demonstrated strong improvement over 2017 on our lost time incident rate, which is very good. I'll first talk about the overall business and our performance, and then I'll turn the time over to Brendan Ryan, our CFO, to discuss our detailed financial results. The first half of 2018, we continued our trend of improving our productivity, and we now have six consecutive quarters of financial and operating improvements to build upon. We experienced a 7% increase in average rig utilization year-on-year, which is very similar to the improvement we saw in 2017. We continue to focus on operating cost performance, and these can be seen in our improved margins, both at the operating margin line as well as in EBITDA. Brendan will speak more about these. This improvement can be seen in virtually all of our financial and operating metrics, including the increased revenues of 11% or $38 million to $394 million on improved demand for both services and products. Adjusted EBITDA improved by $15 million for the half year, or 71%, to $37 million, with strong operating cost improvement and more meters drilled per dollar of compensation, despite merit increases and coupled with an 18% improvement in SG&A spending. We continue to advance our technologies with the successful introduction of our TrueCore orientation tool in 2018, and I'll talk a little bit more about this on a later slide. Turning to slide four, drilling services. Revenue in our drilling services group was up 11% over the first half of 2017. The improved market is reflected in our biggest clients who are extending their drilling campaigns. While pricing globally remained stable in 2018, with improvement in some regions and drill types, the lack of significant junior mining activity has limited price growth in some areas. With bigger clients, the softening in copper and gold prices in the last 90 days has had little effect, but the macroeconomic uncertainty, mainly driven by tariffs and trade actions, is hampering the ability of juniors to access new funding. The positive news is that EBITDA improved by 14% with volume and improved rig uptime. Some highlights include a 14% year-on-year improvement in shifts per rig and strong improvement in performance in both Asia-Pacific and Africa. Turning to slide five, we'll talk a little bit about our products group. Revenue in our products group is, like drilling services, is up 11% due to strong tooling sales and rig sales earlier in the year. Underlying growth of EBITDA was significantly improved by 168% on increased efficiency and leverage of fixed costs across volumes, as well as improvement in SG&A expenses. Exploration tooling, as highlighted at year-end, has shown strong improvement with notable regional improvements in Asia-Pacific, Europe, and Asia, as well as in Latin America. So let's move on to slide six and talk a little bit about the innovation that we're leading in our industry. Technology innovations in our industry have been the strength of Boart Longyear for more than 128 years, and our continued launch of new products in 2018 continues this innovation. Our new tools on this slide are designed to help our customers improve their understanding of their ore bodies. I think this is very important. We're here to help ore body knowledge improve with our customers. These new technologies focus on safety, drilling efficiencies, and providing accurate and faster information to our clients through technologies such as TruScan. Our newly introduced Longyear bits, not shown on the slide, have been demonstrated to improve productivity by more than 20%. And our XQ rods, designed for deep hole drilling, have new patented thread technology and increased load capacity. And they are ideal for rod handling applications. I will now turn it over to Brendan Ryan, our Chief Financial Officer, to talk about our financials.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm pleased to present a summary of the financial highlights for the first half of 2018. Before we move on, I want to highlight the picture on slide 7 and of the new Salt Lake City Operations Center. This formed part of our global cost reductions and simplification initiatives. We fitted out an old building which allowed us to consolidate 5 Salt Lake City facilities into a single location, and the move was successful in both decreasing overhead and improving collaboration across the group. On slide 8, my first slide shows a summary of the Boart Longyear consolidated results. Overall, the three charts, as Jeff mentioned, show a continued positive turnaround story for H1 of 2018. Chart 1 demonstrates the stronger market conditions witnessed through H1, whilst charts 2 and 3 reflect the business improvements delivered in 2018, specifically the improved cost control despite the increased volumes. With respect to the specific charts in the consolidated revenue bridge, you'll see that on the back of 15% growth in 2017, we saw a further 11% or $38 million increase in revenue in half one 2018. This was driven largely by volume increases across both DS and products, as well as some price sort of help as well. It should be noted that relative to the 15% growth in quarter one, quarter two saw a more moderate 7% year-on-year growth rate. The positive H1 growth trend is also supported by continued strong product backlogs, as Jeff mentioned, although, again, quarter two backlog is slightly down on quarter one. In the EBITDA bridge, we show improved results with adjusted EBITDA up $16 million or 17%. These improvements have been driven by strong flow-through from increased volume, a focus on delivery of productivity improvements and operating cost initiatives, and continued reduction in SG&A cost base despite the higher revenues. These gains were, however, partially offset by marginally weaker FX and some one-off negatives. Also positive to see is that statutory EBITDA inclusive of restructuring costs was $40 million higher year on year. In terms of adjusted net profit after tax, while still negative at negative $10 million, improved by $44 million year on year, and again, statutory NPAT improved by $67 million. On slide, the next slide, we'll see the focus on the year-on-year comparison of H1 18 versus H1 2017. The comparison, first I'd ask you to focus on the adjusted numbers on the right-hand side of the table. And on an adjusted basis, as Jeff mentioned, we solidly outperformed all of our H1 2017 metrics. Revenue is up 11% or $38 million, adjusted gross margin up 27% or $15 million. Adjusted operating margin up 23%, adjusted EBITDA up 16%, and adjusted NPAT up $44 million. For revenue and gross margin, the difference between stat and adjusted numbers are minimal. At the operating margin line and below, however, the difference between stat and adjusted numbers are more material. The difference reflects both the year-on-year operating margin improvement of around $23 million, plus incorporates about $25 million greater one-off restructuring costs incurred in H1 2017, with the majority of these restructuring costs relating directly to the 2017 recap process. On slide 10, the last of my three slides, I'll summarize some key H1 financial highlights. So we continue to focus on optimization of the Boart Longyear business, and we had a couple of good wins in quarter two that we'd like to share. Firstly, we engaged with the rating agencies to improve our credit rating. We had a review from by both Moody's and S&P during the first half. The good news is they both upgraded our outlook to stable. Boart Longyear will continue to work with them to ensure that ongoing improvements are reflected in our rating. Secondly, we continue to focus on releasing cash from the business. You'll see a very good result from the net cash flow from operations, reduced by $46 million to negative $12 million in H1 versus negative $58 million in 2017. So we saw a strong improvement in DSO and DPO performance, offset by a small increase in inventory as volumes grow. Reducing net working capital will continue to be a focus in the second half of 2018, and releasing this cash allows us to reinvest in capital and technology through the cycle. Lastly, we made significant progress with the Canadian Revenue Authority. We saw positive movement on our legacy CRA assessment issues. For context, our end-of-year accounts highlighted a $95 million risk associated with settlement. We are pleased to announce a very positive outcome. We broadly resolved the US and Canada transfer pricing issues from 2007 through 14, and this has reduced that end-of-year $95 million liability by circa $73 million. It's also provided a pathway to resolve the remaining $22 million dispute. So an excellent effort to remove that risk from our books. So with that, Jeff, that concludes my summary of the half one 2018 financials. With that, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Brendan. Let's move on to leading indicators on slide 12. On balance, industry indicators have been improving in the first half of 2018 with some softening of metal prices and equity values in the last 90 days. Not shown on the chart, but important, is that debt levels in the mining industry and within our major customers have been improving, and leverage ratios have been reduced as evidenced by sharply improving ratings. Our clients' balance sheets have improved. We believe that they will continue to return to investment and increase activity for reserve and resource replacements despite some shorter-term fluctuations in metal prices. Junior miners, however, equity raises in junior miners have plateaued, and their activity in drilling is lagging the recovery, but our revenues have continued to grow from 2017. Let's move on to slide 13 and talk about our strategic objectives. We continue to expand on the improvements we have made in 2016 and 17 into 2018. Safety is always our most important focus and value. Simplifying our systems and standards and then training our employees to adhere to those standards and to better identify risks in the field will be key to our success and improvement on the safety side. I believe we're getting better at also focusing on our customers. Our focus on new technologies and improving our operational efficiencies is key to meeting the needs of our customers, preparing for market improvements, and managing through market cycles and seasonality. Cost control is key. Overall, we will create value through safety leadership and focusing on profitability. Our focus on improving financial performance through cost control has enabled us to get where we are today, and we'll continue to be focused on efficiencies and managing working capital with discipline and preparing for the new opportunities ahead. Lastly, I'd like to talk a little bit about our redomiciliation efforts. Consistent with what we communicated during the restructuring process, which we concluded in 2017, we've entered into a scheme of arrangement to redomicile Boart Longyear to Canada. Most importantly, this will not change the ASX listing from Australia. We will remain listed on the ASX as a result of this change. While there are certain conditions still to be met, court and shareholder approval, we anticipate implementation in early 2019. We believe that there are key benefits of this work for the company. Importantly, we believe this opens up access to a larger pool of capital via Canadian institutional investors and reduce costs through streamlining of our corporate structure for efficiencies. So with that, I'd like to open it up and see if there are any questions. Miranda, can you help us?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you find that your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the question queue by pressing the pound key. And once again, if you would like to ask a question over the phone today, please press star one now. And it looks like we'll take our first question from Kari Plaster. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Sorry, I don't have a question. Thank you.
And once again, it is star then one to ask a question today. It looks like we can take a question from Christoph Natan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Yeah, I was wondering whether you could talk a bit about more what you've seen from the juniors we have over the last couple of
Christoph, I'm having trouble hearing you. What I did get out of that is tell us a little bit more about the juniors. Is there more to that question that I did not get?
No, that's it. So just to get more, a better understanding of what happened, how did juniors reacted over the last 2 months, and how do you think it's going to play out with them for the remainder of the year? And, yeah, thank you.
Well, listen, I think, you know, the situation from a macroeconomic environment with some of the uncertainties with trade really instigated by the tariffs that have come in the last, you know, 90, 120 days has clearly brought some uncertainty into the marketplace. You can see it in commodity prices. You can see it in equity values of mining stocks. And I think that environment has made it more difficult for juniors to raise money. Certainly there are junior miners that already have their money raised, and so they continue to do their work. I don't think that's impacting the major miners as clearly as much. You know, we continue to see strong activity from them. I guess your guess is as good as mine as what happens from that macroeconomic environment in the second half of the year. You know, if we continue to have uncertainty, I suspect that they may continue to struggle to get some of that funding. But I don't have a strong insight into that. I'm not sure who does. Brendan, would you like to?
Yeah, I think you might also see that the majors who've probably underinvested in exploration over the last 5 years might also start sort of being the source of funding for some of these juniors. The majors, you know, their balance sheets are strong. They're paying back large dividends across the group, and they sort of want a home for some of that cash. And I think you might see them sort of investing in juniors as an alternate source than the market, you know, than the public market just at this point in time.
Thanks. And maybe to add one here. Overall, for the majors, have you seen any the RFP activity change or anything? Or is it more they're going to do the planning around later in the year, November again, for the following year, and this year won't be impacted?
So far, we haven't seen a lot of change in behavior of the major miners. They continue to execute on some of the plans that began earlier in the year, and yep, we haven't seen a lot of change in that.
I think Rio announced a 30% increase on their exploration budget the other day, and BHP was sort of fairly bullish on their budgets as well. So they, you know, they are strong on cash, and I think you might that's probably an increasing trend.
Okay, thank you for taking the question.
Thank you. And we'll go next to Stuart Foster. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to just get a bit more color on the redomiciling of the company. And just to just get some understanding, are there any significant cost savings in this, or is it more about just trying to access the bigger pool of capital that you talked about?
So let me begin this one and see if our chief legal officer here with me, and he can add anything that's relevant to this discussion. But listen, there are some, you know, areas where we think we can save some money. I would put most of the value on this into future value in terms of access to capital markets and a larger pool of capital to draw from in the future. But, you know, there will be some areas where we might save some money, but that's really, I think, the driver as we look forward into the future. Do you want to add something to that, Robert?
Just note that we're still working to finalize our scheme booklet, which will identify all the benefits to the company for completing the transaction. In there, we do plan on addressing some cost savings that will result, but until we complete the process of reviewing the scheme booklet with the ASIC, we can't really get into much more detail at this point. The scheme booklet should be released to the market sometime in October, and at that time we'll be able to fully address what those benefits are.
Okay, just to follow on, I mean, do you intend to do a consolidation of the stock at the same time? And is there any sort of plan to ultimately list on the TSX as well, either with a dual listing or sole listing?
So to answer your first question, no, there's no plan at this time to consolidate the stock in conjunction
right.
with the domiciliation. And when we look forward, we will look at options when time comes due. We haven't made any efforts in that regard, nor have we, we've evaluated what the merits of that would be. Right now, we are very happy to be staying on the ASX, and this is simply a redomiciliation of the company.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, it is star, then one, if you would like to ask a question today. And we'll go next to Mitch Bevin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Congratulations on the progress. Just curious, with respect to capital structure, do you anticipate any need for additional capital in the next year or so, or just given the improving prospects, you feel as though you're relatively comfortable?
Yeah, listen, we completed our recapitalization about a year ago, not quite a year ago, and certainly that was a great improvement in our capital structure going forward. And we have experienced a fair bit of growth, which we funded as well in that time period. As we look forward, we're not anticipating any changes to our capital structure, and as we see, some growth in the future, as most people do in our industry, and or plan for that eventuality as a potential. We see that we probably have, what we need for our needs going forward as well. So, no plans to announce at the moment in terms of changes to capital structure.
Okay, thank you. Additionally, I'm curious as to whether you're seeing increased levels of demand and some of the other alternative and base metals, so, nickel, graphite, lithium, cobalt, all the other metals that have received a lot of hype lately, and you've seen increased levels of interest, drilling prospects, and so forth, in a bright spot?
Yeah, so the battery metals particularly are quite hot at the moment in the market. They are attracting sort of funding in the junior sector. They're one of the few sectors, copper's down quite a bit, but those sort of battery metals are fairly popular. We see sort of contracts coming through in the lithium and those areas in Latin America and here in the US and up in Canada. So yeah, we are seeing some good business there. It's still a fairly small part of the total market, but it is certainly from a very small base. It's grown quite a bit, but it still is a very small part of the total business.
Okay, thank you very much.
And as a reminder, it is star then one for questions, and we can pause for a moment to allow any further questions to queue. And it appears that we have no further questions over the phone at this time.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Apologize for the technical difficulties on the web streaming portion of the presentation, but you certainly can download the presentation from the ASX, and I think it's already been posted onto our website at this time, so you can download it there as well. So thank you very much, and thank you, Miranda. We'll close the call.
This does conclude today's program. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at any time and have a wonderful day.